This is Peter Maloney, Chief Editor of Platts Global Power Report, and I'm in here in Las Vegas at the 24th Annual Platts Global Power Markets Conference, and we're talking with Paul Farr, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of PPL Corp. We had a really good discussion there at the in the conference, and I'd like to extend that. Some of the things you were talking about with the collateral needs of merchant generators. Your company, PPL, is in an interesting position. You have both regulated assets and merchant assets. How do you handle the collateral needs of your merchant generating unit?
We do operate the two businesses. The credit and liquidity needs of both of the regulated businesses are relatively modest, as you'd expect for companies like that. However, the merchant generating portfolio, which is around 12,000 megawatts of domestic generation, needs significant collateral to be able to sell the power forward on a meaningful basis so that we're able to capture value when we see it offered in the marketplace for the output, as well as to provide stability of cash flows that we need to maintain our corporate credit ratings and provide good returns to investors. We've got probably the third or fourth largest amount of collateral facilities in place in the electric space in the U.S. with about, I think the total nameplate on the facilities is around $4.4 billion. That was reduced by $175 million last year when Lehman Brothers went under. They were a larger participant in our $3.4 billion bank syndicated facility. But we gapped that up and more in September of last year when we added an additional $385 million, 364-day syndicated facility. The general hedge strategy that we've got is to try to be as hedged as we can in near-term years and less hedged as we go out the curve. So to give you some idea of order of magnitude, at the end of 2009, I would expect our marketing and trading group would have the baseload generation hedged at the 90 to 100% level for 10, 50 to 75% for 11, 25 to 50 for 12. If we were hedged at the upper end of each of those ranges, so 100% in year one, 75% year two, 50% year three, and we did what I consider to be a normal level of marketing transactions, load following deals with utilities beyond hedging the generation. So the guys are out in the marketplace purchasing generation, basis, ancillaries, green products, you name it, shaping those and then committing that to utility load following deals. If we did about 3,000 megawatts of that, that requires that we have $4 to $4.5 billion of collateral. We've got to be able to withstand a 1 in 20 move up in prices, because remember, as a large owner of generation, we're a net seller in the marketplace. So when we commit to sell generation forward and prices rise, the counterparties who've purchased the energy from us at the lower prices expect us to post collateral in case we don't perform. So if I look at a 1 in 20 move chance of a move up in prices, I look at the fact that if we sustained a two-notch downgrade from mid-triple B to double B plus, we would lose virtually all the open credit lines that we've got with our trading counterparties. That's $1 billion of credit, of open credit that we've got. All of that factors together to drive the amount of collateral that we've got. If the collateral gets reduced, the duration of the hedge portfolio comes in. If I'm able to attract more collateral, I'm able to hedge more and further out on the curve. So that the constraining point in all this really is the amount of collateral available, and that's, PPL's not unique to anybody else in the space. You can look at any other hybrid and they're confronted with the same dynamic.
How quickly can you adjust the hedge positions to the collateral, the fluctuations in the collateral?
That can be done pretty quickly and pretty dynamically. We, because our facilities, our largest facility is a $3.4 billion facility that doesn't mature until May of 2012, we've got a lot of run rate to that point in time. And as we sit right now, if I look at the hedging that we've done, and we put these numbers in our, you know, quarterly analyst reports and our financial presentations, all of the power transactions on a net basis year by year and the fuel transactions that we've done are in the money to PPL, meaning that since we did those transactions, we did a lot of forward power sales back in Q1, Q2 of 2008, prices have come off dramatically. So we haven't found the need and we're not planning on monetizing those positions. So they're in the money to us. I'm really underutilizing that $4.4 billion, $4.2 billion of collateral facility at this point in time. But given that we focus more on years 1, 2, and 3 years out from where we sit today, that's the most liquid part of the curve. So if we actually had to close out positions so that we weren't posting and we were basically just settling those, that's relatively easy to do. Longer dated things, even if we go back to when the markets were liquid, were a little bit tougher to do, but you could still do them in 2007, 2008. So it's relatively easy to do.
This is also, I mean, from a business point of view, it's you have to do it, but it can be a drag on earnings. I mean, it's a lack of liquidity. It's required, but it's a lack of liquidity. So, and it's been, I call it the Achilles heel of some of the companies like Constellation. What are the alternatives to having to post $4 billion of collateral?
Let me give you, when you say a financial drag, I don't see it in the medium or longer term as being a financial drag. In the short term, I actually see it as an opportunity, because when there's a cost that a merchant generator incurs to be able to generate output, sell that product to consumers in merchant markets, it gets recovery basically of its costs. And we've seen this in a lot of the near-term utility default supply auctions, whether it be Baltimore Gas and Electric, the last BGS auction, our own electric utilities auction in Pennsylvania. Market is pricing in the current market cost of credit for delivering energy on a default basis to utility companies. The utility companies pay that cost from the suppliers with no markup, on sell that power to the ratepayer, so the ratepayer is ultimately paying these costs. I think the key for the space is to try to find a way to get these costs down so that collateral costs aren't in addition to all of the other costs that are pancaking the consumer. I'm not sure where the creative insight or product is going to come from, but whether it's utilities that extend more open credit lines to suppliers, or energy clearinghouses, or you know, maybe even with utilities having some type of springing lien structures where they take a collateral call on the plant, which if you think about it, as power prices rise, yes, they're worried about my ability to perform, because if I don't, they've got to replace that power that they thought they bought at a lower price with higher current market prices. If they took an interest in or had a collateral call on the plant is worth more because the value of the potential output's worth more. So that kind of right way risk, I think, will, you know, could work. This is going to take, none of this happens at breakneck speed, and it takes time for these changes in approach and credit views to change by the utilities, by the public utility commissions. But it's in everybody's best interest to do this, because without collateral, generators won't be able to bid the load following deals when the utilities come out with them, and credit at any price may be difficult, and utilities may not be successful in actually procuring power when they need it, forcing much more price volatility in the short term on consumers because there's not a marketplace capable of delivering a 3, 4, or 5 year product to a utility.
What about utilities going for long power purchases, like Pennsylvania is now looking at 10-year deals in the supply side?
Yeah, the Public Utility Commission, when they published the guidelines that they wanted utilities to use in procuring energy, they wanted a portfolio of short, medium, and long-term contracts. And as I think about that, short-term basically means some small slice of spot market purchases or very, very short-term product. Then the, you know, 1, 2, and 3 year rolling load following deals is the biggest chunk, and then and maybe that number is 70 or 80%, and then a back end slice, which is, again, these numbers can change, but maybe 10 to 20%, where they buy 5 and 10 years out to try to provide, at least for one decent chunk of the default supply needs, some very stable priced product. I think that product is going to be very challenged from the marketplace standpoint. The renewables guys, which are project financed entities, don't have collateral at all to post, and so by definition, the utility, if this is a renewables product, is going to have to take that project risk in the contract. If it's the strategics or merchant suppliers in the space, anything that I would do on a 5-year basis or a 10-year basis will have priced into it a very high amount and cost of collateral if I can actually get enough collateral in the marketplace to be able to mirror that supply commitment. And what it will do is, of the total $4.2 billion or $4.4 billion that we've got available, it doesn't let me hedge as much on the front end because the collateral potential, again, on that 1 in 20 price move up for a 5 or 10-year product for a 100-megawatt slice versus a 2.5-year product on the 5-year, it's not twice the amount of volatility. It's probably closer to 3 times the volatility. So it's really chewing up a lot of the ability to hedge at the front end, which really our shareholders don't want, our fixed income investors don't like, the rating agencies don't like it. So I think in those instances, we're going to have to kind of come up with a supply construct and a credit construct where, again, maybe the utility only marks to market the first couple of years of that product. And then as we move through time, a year falls off that we supply, another year rolls on, so that the whole 5 or 10 year period, it does not need a collateral requirement attached to it. Again, we're going to have to get creative so that the utilities get what they need, the merchant generators get what they need. I like longer-term price stability too, but not at the cost of not being able to hedge much more quantity at the front end that I need for all those other stakeholders.
So you'd be interested in bidding into that, but you'd like to say that the instrument actually would need some work.
I think we're interested. I think it's tenor dependent. It's credit provisioning dependent. The longer the term of a deal, and remember, we're coming out from underneath an 8-year rate cap where our generation supplied all of the default supply needs. There were periods of time under that contract where it went out of the money by in excess of $4 billion, that one supply contract. Now, there's a cap under that contract in the amount of credit that the generation affiliate has to supply to the utility. It was defined and approved by the PUC at $300 million. No one could have foreseen the price spike that we've seen recently here back when that contract was signed in 2001, 2002. But it doesn't mean we can forget what happened. So the longer and all the new environmental standards that have been layered on and all the coal price volatility and carbon, and the longer the duration the contract, not just the credit that has to be managed, but there needs to be some, in my mind, some tracker or some mechanism for a flow through of a cost that I can't perfectly predict today. If not, I would have to price that contract very high to cover a range of potentials. We know the direction that, you know, it appears federally that environmental rules are moving, and those are going to get more stringent, which means higher cost of compliance, which means I've got to get recovery. So if there's not a tracking mechanism for something like that, then I've just simply got to mark up the product. And I think then we end up with a situation where, is that still a valuable product for the PUC and the ratepayer at that point? So it's trying to manage both stakeholders' needs to come up with something that is acceptable to both sides.
What about things like credit sleeves? I know they've been used in the past. There are those, and maybe partnerships. Are those things you're looking at?
We're watching the marketplace. My treasury guys are in touch with the financial institutions that have actually provided those. You know, Merrill did in the Reliance situation. Morgan Stanley guys just recently did more of a novation, not a credit sleeve, for Pepco/Connective. What we're trying to do is, with many of the products that I talked about in the forum, whether they be knock-in facilities where we pick a price point of gas or electric, at which point in time, if we hit it, a financial institution agrees to make a certain amount of collateral available, whether it's cash collateralized letter of credit facilities, whether it's springing lien structures. What we're doing now is going through all of the documentation, going through all the diligence, fully evaluating pricing, but not necessarily incurring a cost and actually pulling the trigger on particular structures. Again, with power prices having come off from, you know, $87 a megawatt hour at West Hub and Mid-C in fall of last year or mid-year last year to the $50-ish range today, I'm actually a little bit surplus credit, so it doesn't really make sense unless I plan to hedge more, which I don't right now. I've got enough collateral capacity to hedge what I plan on hedging. It doesn't make sense to incur the cost, but I think maintaining maximum flexibility with a market that, you know, 1 week the product is perceived as valuable and somebody's willing to price it for you, and another week the market shuts down, you just have to keep as many avenues open as possible so that if you have a need, you've got a range of potential products you can go to try to meet the need.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. This is Peter Maloney from Las Vegas.